Okay, would you turn your Bible to Colossians 3, and we will start. So it is not only tremendous honor and privilege from our Lord to be entrusted with our children in our care, but also is very much challenging. And if you say, well, child raising children is not a challenging, then you don't have a real child. This morning, we are going to learn how to shape our children's will with wisdom that comes from the Lord through the book of Colossians and book of Proverbs. Let's read that portion again, 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. That father's word can be interchanged with the mother's. It's not just for fathers only. Let's stop and pray. Father, it is hard to see a child going through that much pain because the father who was abusing her. There are some people who fail to raise their children correctly, and there are some people who excel. We don't want to excel in a worldly way, but we want to excel in your way, so that we may pass the spiritual torch to our next generation, so they may love you, adore you, and follow you, honor you, and most of all, obey you. Father, teach us so that we may be able to teach our children in such a way they may see you and glorify you in their lives. Father, now we pray for this COVID-19 to be eradicated completely from this earth. And there are a lot of deceptions going on with this disease. And Father, you're willing that deception to be revealed wide open. And we pray for our president, as your word said. You give him wisdom to govern our country properly. And we pray for all the other politicians involved. Not their will, but your will be done. And Father, we also pray for the election. And there's a lot of things going on in this election. Father, we pray that your chosen people to be in the offices and any demonic hindrance would be demolished. Father, we pray for our troops, the uniformed personnel, and in the law enforcement and the firefighters. Another police officer got killed, Father. Seems like the evil declared that war against the good people. Father, we are asking you to protect them. Keep them safe as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do me a favor, big guys. When you see police officers on the street, don't surprise them because they're rather jumpy nowadays. Just go there, shake your hands if you can. Or at least do the elbow rubbing. Okay? Let them know you appreciate them. And some people say the police cruelty. You talking about a minimal portion of the law enforcement that do that kind of thing. You don't want to be in that category. I mean, let me put it this way. You don't want to paint the brush with the broad brush that every cops are wrong. Yes, there are bad cops, but the majority of them are good cops. Okay, let's start and continue. Don't think that your children do not know what they are doing when they challenge your parental authority. Okay? Whether they are 5 or 3 or they are 18. They do know exactly what they are doing. When the children behave in a way they are disrespectful or harmful to himself or others, his hidden purpose is often verify the stability of, try to verify the stability of the boundaries. I was told that the children feel assurance and security when their parents hold their authority and leadership firm and confident. And they feel insecure when they are not disciplined. The objective of the child rearing is not to parent to win a tug of war at all cost. If you do, you may end up with a tearful child and a confused one, but also with a relationship strained beyond repair. Rather, your objective should be to shape the child's will gently yet firmly according to God's way. Would you go to Proverbs chapter 13, please? Proverbs is the 20th book from the beginning, chapter 13, verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. There is a Chinese proverb, Chinese saying, by at the end of the day, whip your child. You don't know why you're whipping that child, but the child knows exactly why he's being whipped. I don't recommend that method all the time. According to the Bible, the Word of God, we need to discipline our children as the Father in heaven does to us. But the psychologists, including some Christian psychologists, as well as some Bible teachers and pastors across America, insist that disciplining children will hurt children's self-esteem. Let me make this very clear to you. We all don't have a problem with the self-esteem. Self-esteem equals pride. In many ways, it's a bad idea. Problem we have is we have too much self-esteem, thinking about ourselves too much. Are you telling me that, those people, are they telling me that they know, people, psychologists, some Bible teachers, or whoever they are, they know more than the author of this Bible, God? I'd rather go with what God says than what they say. Since the word discipline is an emotionally charged word and generally misunderstood, we need to make some clear distinctions that clarify the concept. Here's a few. We should tell the difference between the abuse and discipline. As a former chaplain for the Piedmont County Sheriff Department, I had the opportunity to go to some of the homes where they had the domestic violence. Is it between the husband and wife, or between the children and the parents or the relatives? It's not a pretty sight, usually very ugly. There is a huge difference between abuse that tears down child's spirit and discipline that builds up the child's character. Another thing we need to know is abuse is unfair, extreme, and degrading. It usually is harsh, unnecessarily long, and totally inappropriate. When you drag a children's feeling through the emotional mud and kick them in while they are down, you are being abusive. Remember what we watched? That Boone Thorne? Remember when she was sick and her father said, let her die? How would you like to be told, let her die? The result of abuse often leaves an emotional scar, if not physical one, that would last a lifetime. Abuse doesn't grow out of love. It stems from hate. Another thing that we should notice is discipline. Discipline is fair, fitting, and uphold the child's dignity. And you may say, you're saying the child has a dignity? Yes, they do. Just like you have a dignity. You don't want your dignity to be invaded. You don't want to invade their dignity either. Discipline is built on foundation of justice and fairness, and it's biblical. It is not vague. Nor is it abstract. The child should have a good idea of the punishment that will be dished out if the parental authority are willfully and defiantly violated. This form of correction actually strengthens the child's character rather than shatters it. Discipline is rooted in the proper motivation, love, and genuine concern, not in anger or selfishness. That's why it is best not to discipline a child with the anger. Take your time. If you have to leave that place, think through, pray. then discipline the child properly. Second thing we need to distinguish is between the crushing and shaping. Go to chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 13, please. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. This verse paints a vivid contrast between the spirit that has been shaped and the one has been crushed. The ultimate goal of the discipline is to build up your children with the direction and the confidence, giving them a strong, secure, and godly character that would carry them through life. Third thing that we need to distinguish is between the natural childishness and willful disobedience. I believe that every child needs a space in which to learn and make mistakes and develop his or her own character within the proper limits. As a parent and grandparents, it is important for you to distinguish between childish irresponsibility and willful and defiant behavior. Let me explain. If a child lost his bicycle for the fifth time, or he didn't make a bed, or did not feed the dog, or did not take out the trash, or simply forgot what you told him to do, that is not defiance. You with me? That's just being a child. Do you remember everything you do, you're supposed to do? No. We live near Green Valley. We forget everything. So it is, you got to give them slack. They are children. They forget things. That's a typical behavior of the children. Please be gentle as you teach them to do better. If he chooses not to respond to your parental instruction, it became appropriate to administer well-defined consequences. He may have to pay for the items that need to be replaced or deprived to use that item again. There are several suggestions worth considering for you guys. Shaping the will with the wisdom is a critical task of parenting. I know some of you said, I'm no longer a parent, I'm a grandparent. Good for you. Now you can tell their parents what needs to be done. This morning, my grandkids were watching the TV and there's a Care Bear. Any of you guys know Care Bear comic? My daughter used to play with that. And I told one of my grandkids, your mommy used to play with that. And he looked at me like, you mean that's that old? So it's noise? You better watch your mouth. Discipline, number one, start early. Start early. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The word promptly has a colorful background in Hebrews. Originally, it is a shachar, which means dawn, early morning. Later, it involves with the idea of pursuing something early in life, like a career. And thus came to mean with the determination or with diligence. Association of the diligence with the discipline indicates that we should start the disciplining our children early in their lives. The longer we wait to begin the process, the more difficult it will become. It's better for you to start when they were little than wait until they become like a 16, 17 and much taller than you and stronger than you. Try to bend him over your lap. Ain't going to work. Proverbs 19:18 is this New Living Translation. Discipline your children while there is hope. If you don't, you will ruin their lives. How true. I know when you look at your baby's beautiful angelic face, you cannot fathom that baby is a sinner, right? I read this thing from my daughter's writing. She said, children, when this is when my younger grandchild was like a one, he pushes her to the limit. And she's just about to explode, and he smiles at her. And you don't know what to do with that. Look at the face like that. That's not my grandson. But you have to completely agree with the Bible that says all humans are desperately wicked above all things. Even though behind that angelic face, that child has a sinful nature. If that child is not parented correctly, that child will become a murderer. It doesn't take very long. When you look around while child is screaming on murder in a public place, everybody look at you with that look. Now you know you have a monster in your hand. That means, that translates, you know that you are a slave to that child. It is not too late to start to discipline your child. Second suggestion, stay balanced. Stay balanced. Balance is what keeps the children from falling off their bicycles and skinning their knees. Balance is also keep their parents from the crashing when it comes to discipline. Two kinds of disciplines are mentioned in the Bible. Both complement each other, and both must be kept in balance. First one is a physical discipline. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. The rod indicates the infliction of pain. It is important for you to convince your child that his wrongdoing results in pain. In addition to that, the Lord graciously provides extra padding on their bottom. They are not going to die, but they can feel the pain without getting hurt. And I know some of you guys will never discipline your child physically. You are disservicing your child. How do I know? Because the Bible says so. Don't tell me you know better than Bible. You don't. Remember what I taught you? Whenever you disagree with the Bible, guess who is wrong? Not the Bible. If your child has ever touched a hot stove, let me make an example. You can bet that he will never deliberately touch that hot stove again. Did it crush his spirit? No. But he learned not to do that again. Bump and bruise throughout the childhood are the nature way of teaching him what to fear, which is good. They do not damage his character. They do not make him vicious. They merely acquaint with the reality. In like manner, an appropriate spanking from the loving parents provides the same service. It tells him there are not only physical danger to be avoided, but also he must steer clear of some of the social trap as well. If you're still not convinced about the physical discipline of your children, now you are going to be disciplined by the Lord. And you may say, well, is it in the Bible? Of course it is in the Bible. Otherwise, I won't tell you. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 4, you don't need to turn. Just make a note there. High priest Eli, any of you guys remember him? He had two sons who were extremely ungodly. They were raping a woman who comes to the temple. They are taking away the things, the sacrifice from God. What did God do? He told Eli through a prophet, if you don't take care of these two, I will discipline them and you. What did Eli do? Nothing. What happened to those two kids? They got killed at war. And Eli died. You don't want to be one of them. When you do not allow your child to suffer the consequence of his actions, you are robbing him of the ability to live in a godly and respected life. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit farther. Some of your children, I don't know, don't tell me that, did you read my email or the mail? No, I don't. Some of your children might go to prison, in jail, because they did something wrong. If you bail them out every time they go against the law, if you bail them out each time, they will never learn the consequences. Mom and dad will bail me out. Mom and dad will cover for me. Jail can be a good deterrent once they go inside. Am I making sense to you? And then verbal discipline. Proverbs chapter 3, please. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father, the son, in whom he delights. While growing up, many of us came to associate with the word discipline, with one thing, punishment, right? Usually start with the preview. Mom telling you, wait until your father comes home. And from that moment, you're thinking, I'm going to die. The biblical discipline is a correction that means that the pattern of the child's behavior must be changed by instruction in righteousness. He must be shown the error of his way, then directed to the proper path. This requires explanation and instruction. Biblical discipline demands words. It is important for us to teach our children how to walk with God. It's better for them to learn from you than learn with the difficulty. Correction should not be the tongue lashing or cutting remark that degrade the character. The verbal instruction is a verbal instruction coming out of genuine and deep love for God and for the child. Too many parents rely on the punishment alone to discipline their children. But by doing that, they are neglecting to give the children the assistance they need and in understanding and applying God's word to their lives. At the same time, if they are obedient, you should let them know. If they are obedient, let them know that how proud you are of them. They should hear correction as well as encouragement. How well prepared are you to shape your children's will with the wisdom of God's word? Are you training them in the way they should go, punishing them for the going in the way they shouldn't? Book of Proverbs, this book, is filled with the wisdom, nugget of wisdom. Of course, we heard somebody said, well, I read one chapter of the book of Proverbs every day. Well, convenient, it has 31 chapters. You can finish, if you follow that pattern, you can finish this book of Proverbs 12 times in a year. How much wisdom do you think you can get from the Word of God? A ton. As I told you many times, we have a grandson, Elias, who is 5 years old. He doesn't know that I'm using him as a sermon illustration. Later he'll find out. He often interrupts adult conversation because he felt left out. So he starts to talk. He can talk miles, he can talk them several miles within a short time. He can talk. I had to stop him, sometimes forcefully, by covering his mouth. I said, Elias, we were talking. You don't interrupt. You wait until we finish. Is it important for us to do that? Yes, it is important because they have to learn the manners and they have to learn. They are not the universe is not evolved around them. Am I making sense to you? Thirdly, be consistent. I've seen many parents threaten their children with the discipline when their children do not behave properly, but they do not follow through. Or the parents blow their discipline out of proportion for a small problem while they do not discipline children when the problem is big. These children get the message that their parents are not consistent and they can push them as far as they can. To prevent this, you need to be consistent. Here are a few guidelines. I'm giving you a lot of suggestions now. To ensure your discipline to be consistent. Number one, make sure the rules are known beforehand. You cannot make a rules as you go along. You have to make a rules beforehand. Number two, discipline privately. What am I saying? If your child is misbehaving in the grocery store, that's not the place you're going to discipline the child. Take them out to the car. Besides, if you discipline the child, somebody will call a cop on you. Okay? Discipline the child privately and do not embarrass your child in front of others. Please. Remember dignity that I mentioned? Thirdly, explain the violation and its consequences. Before you discipline the child physically, you have to explain why he's being disciplined. And administer the rod soundly. For this, I have to make a suggestion. Use a particular instrument, whether it's a wooden spoon or something. Do not use your hand. Why do I say that? Because they have to remember this hand is the one you embrace them with. Wooden spoon is a great way to use it. Back of the hand. Remember that some of you guys used to attend the Catholic school? You get whacked on your hand by the nuns? Whatever it is, use the instrument. That will not, that will not tear the skin. But let them have the pain enough. It's more of a warning not to do it again. Fifth, tenderly hold the child after the spanking. Sixth, assure your child of your love and concern. Next one is a very, very important. I see many parents making a mistake in this. Be parents, not friends. You with me? Be parents, not friends. Don't try to be your child's friend by allowing them to do whatever they want. Your God-given role is being a parent, not a friend. If you love your children enough to discipline according to God's way, your child will respect you and cherish your relationship he has with you in most cases. I said in most cases. Because there are some children who are bent on evil, really. And they would go their own defiant way no matter what. Some of your family is a blended family. Do not discipline the child who is not your biological child. Okay? And if you do that, the child will say, you are not my mom or you are not my dad. That's true. You're just causing more problem. So agree with your spouse. You have to agree with your spouse and let the biological parent minister to the biological child. You have to make an agreement. That goes to the next one. Be in agreement. Do not express your disagreement against your spouse's children for their child. Even if they are your own children, you have to have an agreement. Let me make it very clear. The biggest reason for the divorce is infidelity. We can understand that, right? Second one is, do you know what that is? Finance. Third one is children's discipline. Why the parents have a problem end up in divorce? Because they do not make an agreement in advance. They have to make an agreement in advance to how to minister the punishment and discipline to the children. After you make an agreement, you minister, and do not show disagreement in your face or action. If you do that, child get the cue. Do you think they don't know? They do know. Remember what I told you. They read not only the book, they read your look. And they will come up with a new, their own tactic, divide and conquer. Even the 3 or 4 years old can understand that. You must discuss and agree on the amount, content, and the length of discipline to the children, to the child behind the closed door, not in front of your child. The discipline should be painful enough to them, for them to realize that it is not worth it to go through it again. Am I making sense? Number 6, be reasonable. Don't threaten your children with unrealistic discipline and punishment, such as grounding their child. You are grounded for the next 2 years. And the child is thinking, yeah, whatever. Because it's not reasonable. They're not going to follow. It only cheapens your words. If they insist that they are older and they should be treated differently, treat them differently as an older one and give them more responsibilities in the house. They may not like the older responsibility to go with all the older ages. As your child grows older, when it comes to, there will be a time when it is inappropriate to use the rod. If you're not sensitive to this, you will end up demeaning rather than disciplining your child. Make sense? Let's stop. Folks, I taught to discipline your children, not because I like to discipline our children. I don't. I had to learn the different way because in Korea, everything is pretty much from top to bottom without discussion. When father tells us what to do, that's the end of the discussion. There's no talk back. If we talk back, we get punished. When I was in the military, it was the same thing. And later I learned how the American military works, and I thought, that's not military. That's paradise. Folks, it is important to do what God tells us to do. There are times very uncomfortable things, including disciplining our children. In perfect world, all the children should be perfect. Problem is, you're not perfect. And your spouse is not perfect. That means you get to have an imperfect child. We have to raise those imperfect child in an imperfect world with the help of a perfect God. Do it His way. You will be blessed. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray.